At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
Accelerate to attack speed!
You're all clear, kid! Now let's blow this thing and go home!
The Force is strong in this one.
Welcome to a new episode of Remnants of the Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. And we come together for a new episode today after a few weeks off.
Yeah, a few weeks off.
Rogue One's been in theaters and we gave it time to breathe.
We've been marinating.
After our review of it. And it's been some major news has actually occurred, as people are well aware, since last we got together for a show. And we are going to be talking about that. And of course, that's the death of Carrie Fisher. I think that was part of things too. We needed a couple weeks to let that absorb in.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a moment. Before we go further, I just want to remind you that you can find all episodes of Remnants of the Rebellion at trustmeimajedi.com. And that's where you can find the show.
Yeah.
And we're on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher. And I need to get off my lazy butt and get us on Google Play. And hopefully we will put more on SoundCloud soon.
Working on that.
So plenty of ways to find the show. And we share the RSS feed with the Trust Me, I'm a Jedi Radio Network, which also includes the Rebel Radio Podcast, which is our other show we do with Frank T. Biscuit, who we had on last show. And he came to help us review Rogue One. And now it's back to you and me, Matt, on Remnants of the Rebellion. And normally, Remnants of the Rebellion, we designed the show to be kind of a topic each episode. You know, we did Shadows of the Empire. We looked back at Force Awakens a year later. We gave you a survival guide to Rogue One. And then we reviewed Rogue One. And our goal is to do different moments in Star Wars history, different topics in Star Wars. Like, we are planning, hopefully, a 501st episode where we have some members of the 501st on.
Oh, yeah.
We would like to talk more about the expanding universe, Star Wars collecting, things like that. But today, that takes a back seat to talk about the recent tragedy of Carrie Fisher's death. And before we get into that, let's talk a little bit of Star Wars news lately. Rogue One, of course, doing very well in theaters. Number two film of 2016. Will probably come pretty close to being number one and passing up Finding Dory here in the next couple of weeks. And did you only see it once?
I just saw it once. Yeah. Man, I really need to make it to go see it a second time, because I just feel like you just absorb a whole lot more and you can kind of slow things down for yourself a bit. There's always those one or two little things that you didn't catch.
Right.
Or that you thought you caught, but you didn't, you know.
Yeah, I only saw it once too, and I only saw Force Awakens twice in theaters. But nowadays, with children and work and stuff, it's not like in the old days. I think I saw Phantom Menace 6 or 7 times. Yes, I saw it that many times, even though people don't like it. But now it's a little harder to do that now. We're like old and have responsibilities.
I know, right?
And but yeah, I think I need to take it in. And I've noticed people were very high on it, and now it seems people are backed off a little bit. They realize it's kind of more of a middle of the road Star Wars film, but it's still very good.
Oh yeah. I think there's, you know, plenty of people that'll put it, you know, in their top five, which I think, you know, respectively so, you could put it top five.
Right.
You know, because, you know, it being middle of the road, there are some other middle of the road Star Wars films.
Right.
So, you know, it's easy to, you know, be, you know, 4A, you know, 5A, 5B, right. You know.
And now that Rogue One is played, and rumor is it'll hit DVD and Blu-ray in April sometime, kind of like when Force Awakens did, we will be moving on to Episode 8. And it's kind of a little funny thing. Did you see Mark Hamill's show Pop Culture Quest that he does on Comic Con HQ? It's a streaming channel.
Yeah.
And they tease that exclusive first look at Episode 8 coming soon on Pop Culture Quest. Now Hamill is trolling fans, saying that's genius marketing, because the next episode of his show is the 8th episode.
Yes.
So now it seems like we're not getting a teaser. It's classic Hamill. You know, he's always having fun with the fans and joking. And who knows when we'll get the first look and title of Episode 8. Of course, big reward is this week that Lucasfilm registered the domain Forces of Destiny. And they I don't know if they registered the domain, they registered the trademark. And they did it for t-shirts and books and several other items, which could be a big clue that that's the title of Episode 8.
And that was the early reports. You know, you get, I think there was about 10 or 12 little things leaked. And that was one of the really strong ones that, you know, was a big possibility. It was from a good source. And this move definitely solidifies that that's going to be, the title of Episode 8, Forces of Destiny.
Yeah, because as far as we know, there's no other video games in the work other than Battlefront 2. And why would you register books and things like that for and t-shirts for a video game? If anything, it would be for a television show. But as far as we know, Rebels is still going. Mm-hmm. A lot of rumors that Rebels will be... I don't think they're going to end Rebels this season because I think they would have announced it already. I have a feeling at Celebration we might get some announcement that Rebels will run 4 seasons and we're going to get a new TV show. Because there's been hints of that before that Dave Filoni said that Rebels is only going to run a short time, then they're going to develop a new Star Wars television show. So I think if anything, we may get an announcement at Celebration that one more season of Rebels in 2018-19 we'll get a new Star Wars show. But I don't think this is it. Not if they're registering trademarks.
No.
Generally, you register trademarks and stuff as soon as you know what the title of something is. And so it looks like Episode 8. What do you think about that title? If it is the if it is indeed the title of Star Wars Episode 8, what do you think about Forces of Destiny?
It's like, it's kind of vague still. I mean, whose destiny are they talking about, you know, with the other reports that we got about some of the other things that happen. So whose destiny are they talking about? Is it more about Ben Solo, or is it more about Rey? You know, so I'd like to assume Rey, but, you know, obviously it's probably going to be the, you know, the bridge between these two, you know, characters and how they're intertwined and why they're so connected and why the Force brought them together.
Right. If it is indeed the title, it's interesting because we never had the word Force in any of the Star Wars titles until this sequel trilogy, and now we may have it in back-to-back films, possibly, yeah. The word Force. Even though it's Forces of Destiny. So it means a little different than the Force. It's Forces of Destiny. And but you're right. There's so many characters in this new saga of that we got in The Force Awakens. And where are their destinies headed? I mean, you can include the non-Force users like Poe.
Yeah,
Leia, who we'll get to more later. Luke, his destiny of returning the Jedi Order. You know, that's a big one. Because we don't know where Luke is going from this. We just got the ultimate stare down at the end of The Force Awakens. You know,
is he going to become one with the Force and help Rey like Obi-Wan did?
Exactly.
It's like, I'm a little scared. I don't want him to die.
and I don't think he will. I don't think so. I think this trilogy is leading towards a happier ending than the original trilogy. Because the original trilogy ended a little dark.
It did.
He redeems his father. His father dies. Luke is left wondering what could have been. And I have a feeling, you know, I'm sure you've read, because I know you read a lot on the internet, the Star Wars ring theory, that it's all loops back around. And he's telling this that the prequel trilogy is the original trilogy told kind of backwards in some ways. It's weird. I didn't really read the whole thing. The article's long. So I think that we're leaning towards a happier ending in 7, 8, and 9.
I can see that. More likely. Especially now with Disney control.
I could even see Ben Solo being redeemed. At the end of this all.
There's a strong rumor that he's doing this all just to get close to Snoke.
Yeah, I remember reading that a while back.
And while, you know, at first I thought it was really far-fetched. I was like, why would he kill his dad just to get close to a Sith Lord? I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, I kind of took, you know, my bias out of it, what I would have done. And I'm like, okay, for a story, you know, process and for that aspect of it, yeah, and to catch people off guard and have a more interesting story than, hey, this is a bad guy and Rey is the good guy and, you know, Rey has to beat the bad guy, and then make this more about espionage and a different kind of Ben Solo than we've been seeing in the first Force Awakens. I think that, you know, it's possible. It's definitely possible. Yeah.
Now, what do you think about the rumors? And it's sometimes I forget that Benicio del Toro is in this film.
Yeah, I forgot too.
And there's been a rumor going that he's Ezra. And my thing with this is, in Star Wars lore, other than the hardcore fans, are the cartoons strong enough for a character like that in the movies? Putting Saul Guerrera in Rogue One was one thing. It's a very small character in Clone Wars. He appeared, now he's in Rebels, but he wasn't so big. But Ezra's a major character in a cartoon, but not everyone watches a cartoon. There's even hardcore Star Wars fans that don't watch the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So is that too much, taking him and putting in Episode 8, if it's even true? And Del Toro would fit the age, because if you figure Ezra's, what do you think, 14, 15, 16 in Rebels?
He might be a little younger. He might be more like 14.
And it's 4 years before A New Hope.
Yeah.
Which is, A New Hope is about, what do you say, 35 years before Force Awakens, give or take? Yeah, because it's 30 years after Jedi, and I figure Star Wars is about 5 years before Jedi, somewhere in that range. So he would fit the age. He'd be about 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so Del Toro would fit. I'm just excited that Benicio Del Toro's in a Star Wars movie. I've always liked him as an actor.
Yeah.
And
hadn't disappointed.
And they did say he's a dark, mysterious character. It'll be interesting if it's Ezra. As a fan, I think it would be really cool to tie it in with Rebels. And if they do it in a way like they did Saul, I guess non-Rebels fans or people that just go to the movies on a regular basis won't even know anyway. Because he could just be like, hi, yeah, my name is Ezra Bridger. Yeah, I was a former Jedi, you know, and I've been in hiding. And why can't there be other Jedi in hiding, you know, that hid after Order... Well, Ezra came around after Order 66, but, you know,
yeah,
it's very possible. We'll see. Lots of rumors are going to happen about Episode 8 until we get the first trailer and title, which... I hope sooner, but I just thinking they're going to wait till April at the Celebration in Orlando. I think that's when we're going to get our first look at Star Wars 8.
Man. And that just shoots down the rumors that people thought Ezra was Snoke.
Yeah. I don't think he's Snoke.
Whenever he grabbed the Jedi the Sith Holocron, I was like, okay, you know, obviously Ezra does have some demons in him, and he does have a little bit of the dark side. But... You know, just because you can use the dark side doesn't necessarily mean that you are a Sith.
Right.
Because, I mean, if we go Old Republic here, and I guess it's non-canon now. I'm not sure.
It's non-canon, bastard.
I know, but Darth Revan was able to use both.
Right. And what if Luke is looking for a way to redeem Ben, and Ezra's that guy that, like, hey, I went to the dark side, but I redeemed myself. Maybe we'll get that story in Rebels where... Kanan ends up saving Ezra from going to the dark side.
That would be cool.
And so Ezra goes into hiding. Years later, he helps Luke turn Ben back over if he turns out to be a good guy. All speculation. We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just Star Wars fans like the rest of you. We read this stuff. And I don't read too many rumors. You read a lot more than I do.
I do. But I love rumors.
This one was interesting, I guess, because I really love Rebels. So I was curious about Ezra. So we'll see. We should know more about Star Wars 8 really soon. And we have some other things to talk about. Before we get into Carrie Fisher... an artist came down today with some concept art from unused figures he made for Disney Infinity, and that was the Games to Life game that they made for Xbox and PlayStation and everything else. And it was a fun game where you put a little figure on the pad and they come to life in the game. It wasn't executed in the way that Lego is done with Lego Dimensions, which is absolutely amazing, but it was fun. And of course, Disney last year canceled it, and they showed some concept art of a Rogue One Baz figure. And I just think it would have been cool to at least have the Rogue One figures. And they were going to do a Captain Rex, which means more Clone Wars. Oh. And it's a shame they canceled Disney Infinity because the idea of it could have been really great. I think Disney didn't execute it quite properly. And so that's on TrustMeJedi.com if you're interested in checking out those characters. So now we talked about the news and stuff that's going on in Star Wars world, and now we have to talk about the sad stuff, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But of course, on the night before Christmas Eve, Carrie Fisher was submitted to the hospital with a cardiac event, or arrest, or whatever you want to call it. And of course, Tuesday, was it I think it was it Monday or Tuesday, 26th or 27th? I can't remember. She passed away. And of course, Carrie Fisher, as you well know, is known for playing Princess Leia. And, you know, with celebrity deaths, I normally don't think too much about them. I'm like, oh, that's kind of sad. It sucks.
Yeah.
If it's a singer, I might listen to a song or look at a movie different. Like, it took me for years to watch The Crow and look at Brandon Lee differently. But there's not too many times where it's like, wow, you know. This one was, Spock was another one last year.
Yeah,
it took me a bit especially when I watched Star Trek Beyond, it really kind of hit me when they killed Spock off in the movies too. And Carrie's death has really been one that has been more personal, I think, is the best way to say it. And it's been hard to think about, wow, she's not here anymore. And I think what's harder is that she loses her mom, 2 days later?
Yeah. The
2 or 3 days later?
Yeah, her mom died. Was it the next day? It was the next day.
Yeah, it's just like, and she probably truly died of a broken heart. And you read all the stories that have been coming out about how close they were, and you believe it. It's unbelievable. And the fact that we still have more Leia to come in Episode 8, we know she finished filming her scenes. Disney, of course, is working to figure out where to go from here, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But we always ask a question on this show at the beginning, and we ask each other a Star Wars question about to get to know, so people that are listening to us get to know our beliefs or our favorite things in the Star Wars universe and our beliefs. Right. And so my question today is, do you have a favorite Carrie Fisher Leia moment in the, I mean, that's a fitting question for today.
I mean, if I had to be, man, I guess it would have to be the hologram, the one that started it all. Because there was all this, you know, who is this girl? And, you know, why is she, you know, why is she trying to get a hold of this old Jedi? And even Obi-Wan didn't know, you know, who this person was. And, well, he did, but he acted like he didn't.
He acted like he did.
Yeah. it would have to be the hologram that started it all. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. The SOS before, you know, she got caught.
This is one of the most quotable Star Wars lines ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I think it's, I like the rescue scene in A New Hope. Her feistiness comes out. Aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper? In the garbage chute, flyboy. That whole 5-minute sequence is fantastic. I never thought about how much I liked that scene until this happened. Until Carrie died, I realized, wow, I really like her as Leia. And that scene is probably my favorite, her feistiness. And I'm with you. I go back to that first film where... I guess we're not old enough to remember because nowadays we take female roles for granted. Females get a lot of good roles in films. And in the 70s, a major female role in a sci-fi film was still a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Uhura in Star Trek who had a major role, but they were still not like right there with the boys.
No.
You know.
She was.
And she was right there with the boys. She could handle her own with Han and Luke. And she showed the feistiness throughout all three films. And And she was like that in real life. People say that Carrie Fisher was very feisty, always a joker. And, you know, she had her demons too, as her drug and alcohol use was well known in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Rumor is that she was high through most of the filming of Return of the Jedi.
That makes sense.
You know, and but that aside, it doesn't make a bad person. People make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
And Carrie did so much for charities, work across the world to help people. And just bringing a smile to people's face, a presence for young girls that wanted to be her, you know, to be a princess and to be Princess Leia. And she was a role model in that way for people to look up to.
And it's, I remember, like, you know, you asked me, you know, if I had any thoughts, and I'm like, you know, she, you know, princesses, you know, when you think princess, you think, you know, the Disney princess that has to be saved. She was
the
not
high
that
heels.
Kind of, she was not that kind of princess. She was a fighter. She was a warrior, and she showed, you know, she showed guys and girls alike that not all princesses had to be damsels in distress. They could be one of those, you know, women that, you know, held their own, had some grit, and talked some smack and could hang with the boys. So, you know, she was a different kind of princess, and it, she definitely, you know, I think it you know, went unnoticed for a long time. Because, you know, you're just, you know, there's other things going on in that movie. You know, there's the Force, there's the Darth Vader storyline and the Luke Skywalker, you know, storyline. And I think that takes precedent, but, you know, you take a step back and you look at that and you're like, you know, you focus on Carrie and that's what you get.
That's very much the way I feel now. In the 2 weeks since this has happened, I think back about how important Leia has been to the Star Wars saga. And you're absolutely right. You're so caught up in the aliens and Chewbacca and the spaceships, and you don't take a moment to sit back and realize Leia is such a great, powerful character in this saga. She goes from being a princess to a leader to a general, mm-hmm. and without her, Han and Luke might not get where they are because she helps guide them in some ways. Turns out that she's Luke's sister. And we watched the trilogy originally. You didn't know this. It, of course, in the prequels came and we had the birth of Luke and Leia. But in that sense of the we didn't know, when you watch the trilogy undone and find out that she could be a Force user. And so much about Leia that in some ways the saga is almost as much about her because she's a Skywalker as it is Luke, because it is about the Skywalkers.
It is.
And we got her in episode 7, The Force Awakens, and she's not in it a lot. She's there to be a general and to show that she's still leading and fighting the good fight against the rebels. And now the scene where Han dies becomes so much more intense in some ways. Because now that we've lost Carrie, when Han is killed by Kylo in that scene and she feels it through the Force, it's, man, that scene becomes even more emotional now.
It really does. You just, you know, you see someone, you know, you don't want to see that and think, you know, that's what she was feeling.
And now we're left wondering, we have her legacy, which we'll always have, that she was Princess Leia. She was our princess in a lot of ways. I've seen that a lot on people's Facebook and Twitter, that she was our princess, our generation of Star Wars fans. And we have her legacy, and we will always have Carrie Fisher's legacy and all the great things she's done for the world. And we'll have her films. But now it does beg the question, is where does Disney go from here? We know they're having meetings with Colin Trevorrow, who's directing episode 9. They're going to figure out where to go. A lot of suggestions on the internet. Do they CGI her? Do they recast her? Do they rewrite the episode 9? Because I don't think the episode 9 script is written. But they have an idea where the film's going. They probably have a plot outline. Because they said there's 2 major scenes in episode 9 she was supposed to be in. She hasn't reunited with her brother yet. We don't know if that's happening in 8 or not. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think you either have to, if it's a role in person, I think you have to, you know, try and duplicate what you did with Peter Cushing. And I mean, I think that was good. Or you could even do the Fast 7 thing where, you know, you find someone like a lookalike. And you try and digitalize the face over, because I think they did a decent job. But, you know, I'm pretty sure since then, the technology has gotten a little bit better. Maybe the software for that's gotten a little bit better. And since it's Disney and it's Star Wars, you could probably find someone better. So either that or just move everything to hologram and voice dub.
I haven't decided how I feel about this. I think Peter Cushing was one thing because he's been passed on since the 80s. With this, it feels a little too soon. And then people argue, well, Paul Walker was too soon. But Paul Walker also was really only one scene towards the end of the film there where they put him in the car.
Yeah.
It wasn't the whole film because Paul had filmed a lot of his stuff already for Fast 7. Mm-hmm. They used some stock footage, used his brother's heads, you know, from the backgrounds and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they were able to work around it. Do I think Fast 7 suffered from it? Yes. I think the film did suffer from the rewrites. And the only difference in it is it was already in production. So they had to rewrite some stuff. I kind of lean towards a way of rewriting episode 9. I personally would not have a problem if people think it would be disrespectful if you killed her in the crawl. Or killed her off in the movies. But what if you had stock footage and you killed her in the opening scene of the movie? You know, Leia, her ship is destroyed or something like that. But then someone on the internet has really made a good point. A lot of rumors are that episode 8 centers around a assassination attempt on Leia.
Yep.
So you try to assassinate her in episode 8 and it doesn't work. And then you end up killing her in episode 9. So yes, I can see how that looks a little fishy too. So I don't know what the right thing to do is here. I also think maybe recasting is a good idea. And I know people argue, oh, well, it was Carrie Fisher's role. Yes, it was, but if you find an actress that is well-respected, I think that people aren't going to look at... It's not you're going to go get Angelina Jolie,
Princess
Leia. You get someone who's well-respected, and people probably would just accept it and be like, oh, okay, I can accept that as Princess Leia. I think that could be well done if Disney really sat and think about it and who they could recast as Princess Leia. Mm-hmm. But then again, maybe you have some brilliant writer that's able to rewrite it where... you can rewrite the story and use footage that you have of Leia.
It's like, what if you got Natalie Portman to play Princess Leia? I know, don't look like her, but...
But the problem is age there.
It's her mom.
Yeah. So, you know, because Leia is in her 60s in the movie.
Yeah.
And that's my only thing. So you're still going to use the CGI or makeup to make her look older. It's a tough thing to
that
do.
Would be tough, an older woman to...
I'd hate to be in the spot of Kathleen Kennedy and the producers over at Disney and Lucasfilm right now, trying to figure out what to do, because you're not going to make everyone happy.
Oh yeah, if you think about let's put put down what'll make the most people mad. Killing her off, I think, would piss a lot of people
Probably
off.
Probably so.
Recasting would piss a lot of people off. CGI?
It's going to be more split.
Yeah, it would. Your lesser of the evils is probably CGI, rescripting, maybe, you know, making it, rescripting in a way to maybe she just communicates through a hologram, and you do it that way. But that's the only thing.
Especially with voice actors now and things you can do to get her voice. It's amazing what they can do.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had no idea. The guy who did Peter Cushing's voice sounded just like him, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's amazing what they can do. So I think CGI in her could be a good route because people would be split. And it could give her a proper send-off, you know. I still think you'll see some rewrites where if they do go the route of CGI, they're going to trim her role down some.
Yeah.
I think they'll have to. There's no right way to handle it, I think, because it happened, unfortunately, in the middle of the saga. And I really hope it... Maybe this is selfish of me, but I don't want it to ruin the story that Disney and Lucasfilm had planned for this new saga, because we know they had it plotted out and everything. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully they can bring in some really great writers and people to figure out how to do this where it keeps the main storyline in order and in check of what we were going to get and still give Carrie Fisher's character of Princess Leia a proper send-off.
No, you're right.
And we'll see. And wow, it's just like, where do you go? I've thought about that a lot. Like, where do you go from here? And but no matter where it goes, so... Carrie will always be in our hearts and our minds, and Princess Leia will always be there for us to put in our DVDs, Blu-rays, and rewatch the saga, because Star Wars isn't going anywhere.
Nope.
You know, they're going to do more spinoff films. It's funny, the last episode we talked about, we'll get to that in a minute. The rumor mill's stirring again about an Obi-Wan film. We were talking about it on, and what the, oh, that's that kid toy. It's just going off in the background. It just, that puzzle just goes off randomly.
ghost puzzle.
Maybe we need a little lighter moment there after talking about. But fine.
Or what before if it was Carrie coming in and.
So, for you being a little younger than me, I mean, we're 10 years apart.
Yeah.
Where does Carrie sit as far as. Have you had a celebrity death or is this the first one that you felt? I mean, even when I was in high school and Kurt Cobain shot himself, I didn't really feel that much about him. I mean, I was like, yeah, I dealt to myself, yeah, they're rock stars, they're crazy, you know? And I've never really had celebrity death. I mean, this one I wanted to record right away. Remember I texted you, said, man, we need to record. But then I really realized I needed some time to set this in.
Yeah.
And not to sound, I don't think this is being unmanaged, but I don't know if I would have been able to record a few days after it happened.
I mean,
I might have broke down on the show, yeah. You know? I had to really let it absorb. So anyway, I'm talking.
Right.
What are you gonna? How do you feel about it?
I mean, I felt the same way. It's like whenever I saw it, I'm like, "Are you serious?" And I'm like, "I told everyone I knew. I told my uncle. My uncle hadn't heard about it yet. He's like, "You're kidding me," and I'm like, "No, I'm serious, man. She died." And he went home and he found every Carrie Fisher toy he had and he put them together and. And he, you know, he found his old R2-D2 toy and he's like, you know, he's like, should I share this? I feel like I should share it. And I think it just touched everybody. Yeah, I think everybody felt the same way. And, you know, we had lights.
Ted, right?
Yeah, Ted.
You know, I think I see him invite on Facebook and I don't think he accepted it. He doesn't want to be my friend. It's okay.
he's got a bad memory. The guy would forget his own birthday.
That's fine,
so he probably
fine.
Don't even
be my friend,
remember
it's
you.
Right.
It's okay. You're just not memorable.
Well, that's yeah. a problem.
But, yeah. You know, we have all these lightsaber vigils going on, which I know we'll probably get into a little bit more than one that happened here in Vintage Park. We'll talk about our friend Brian but it touched everybody that way. You know, everybody felt the same way. Kids, adults, you know, it's like
generations. I mean, Star Wars is almost 40 years old. So you're talking almost four generations, probably five. This generation's about every 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
So five or six generations that have grown up with Star Wars, you know, from our grandparents to our parents to us to our kids. So I guess four generations, you know, and it's just, This is a tough one for Carrie. I mean, and you know, and I guess we always knew it was a possibility that Carrie or Mark or Harrison.
I thought Harrison would have died first.
Because he was trying to wreck his plane.
Yeah, the plane crash.
You know,
and then just his age.
James Earl Jones, that would have been a big one.
Yeah.
You know, and we lost Kenny Baker last year, too, who played R2-D2.
Yeah.
Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca, Mayhew's his health's not always the best.
The actor and, that played Darth Vader.
Right, David Prowse.
David Prowse.
So I think that that's why this was such a shocker, because we didn't expect it. Because she was fine. She was in London doing some press for a TV show she had, and all of a sudden she had this cardiac event. And, of course, a few days later, she's gone. And I think that's the big thing about it. You know, last year with David Bowie, he had been sick. Prince, come to find out, was drugs, you know, and not that it's any less sadder, but when you find out that it's something like, oh, well, he was doing drugs, you kind of like, well, he did it to himself. Yeah, you know, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's the sad thing about it. And, man, so Carrie is no longer with us, and this is going to be one that we're going to probably feel in the Star Wars lore for a while.
Definitely. I mean, that, you know, it's not like like Han. Whenever Han was killed off by script, this was, you know, this was a robbery. And it's just unfortunate that it happened on a plane, because I think if she was grounded, then
maybe they could
probably
have
gotten
her.
help a lot faster, yeah.
And yeah, so man,
the lightsaber visual.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of great tributes going on, lightsaber vigils across the nation. They did one here in Houston where we're at the Alamo Draft House. Mm-hmm. And my friend Brian, who's in the 501st, excuse me, he went to it. And
he made the Houston press.
They made the news. It was a big deal. And that was really cool. It went on across the nation. I know they had lightsaber vigils at several theaters across the nation where they had people come and pay their respects to Carrie. And then a lot of people stayed for viewings of Rogue One. And he said it was a neat event. He actually invited me to it. I just didn't really want the somberness of it. I just, even though he said it wasn't really that somber, people were just having fun and made it more of a celebration. It's just kind of how I felt. Like, mm-hmm. I just didn't want to deal with that right now, because, you know, it's Christmas time, and I just didn't
want to make it up there too.
Yeah, it's not exactly close to where we live, that draft house. And but you know, in the hall of the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
They made their own star for her in Hollywood, which is really cool. People leaving tributes there and stuff like that. I think, did Mark Hamill visit that? Was that ever confirmed? There's a rumor that Mark Hamill was even there and paid his respects.
I think so.
At the thing.
They wouldn't announce it, but they said, I did see the article where celebrities privately visited.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure Mark Hamill was one of those private celebrities.
Lots of, like, Kevin Smith came out with a long article, his respects from Carrie Fisher, and the fact that he had sent a letter to Lucasfilm back in the day, and Carrie actually sent him a signed photo back. Because back in the 70s and 80s, you could do that.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like, you know, it's harder to get stuff sent back to you. So the tributes were pouring out throughout the nation. Then, of course, with her mother, Debbie Reynolds, dying a day later. Even 2 weeks later, we're still hearing things.
Yeah, and there was even a documentary, I guess, that was filmed with both Debbie and Carrie Fisher, and
I believe it aired on HBO.
HBO, yeah. They were gonna release it already, but it was just, you know, it was the right time to release it right after her death, and
right,
you know, it was about the two, and I haven't really got to watch it,
right,
but yeah, it's.
And
crazy.
Debbie's a huge star in her own right.
Yeah.
You know, and not to forget her and all this.
Carrie was first known as the daughter of Debbie Reynolds before she was known as Princess
Leia. Have you watched Star Wars or anything since this happened?
I watched A New Hope.
I haven't really watched any since it happened. I have Star Wars stuff all over the house, and like when I see things that have Carrie Fisher on it, it hits me that moment. Mm-hmm. And this is very close. It's almost like, not that we knew her, but it's like when we've lost our own loved ones. It feels that close. It was hard to take in when it all happened.
Yeah, I agree.
And this is our own tribute to her, the best we can, and talking about our favorite moments with Leia. Of course, everybody joked all the years about her in the bikini and how hot she looked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and because Carrie was a looker for her time, you know. And this is our tribute to her on Remnants of the Rebellion, just to talk about her and our favorite moments for her. And I hope that kids in the future realize how important she was as a princess and for little girls and future mm-hmm. generations who watch Star Wars. And, you know, I don't know how much else to say. It's just that we'll miss her.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's all there is left to say. We're going to miss her.
And I read somewhere that someone said that Carrie thought the CGI of her in Rogue One was really great. And that someone said that CGI has suddenly become creepy now. I don't think that, because the film came out before this all happened.
Maybe because she is kind of pale.
Yeah.
Maybe they see it as like she almost is kind of ghostish
right.
or something.
But you know, it's nothing they could do. That was already set in stone. They didn't know this was going to happen. No one could prepare for this.
Carrie approved of it. It should be good in everyone's book.
And so that's all I've got. Carrie, not going to be a super long show today, but we have a few more things to talk about. And Carrie, all I can say is we'll miss you before we move on. And the rumors have stirred up again this week about the Obi-Wan possibly being a film. And we can fuck with Frank since he's not here today.
Yeah.
Frank, who does Rebel Radio with us, came on as a guest for the Rogue One review last episode. And we talked about ideas of possible future films. And Frank was stuck on the fact that he believes that Obi-Wan just sat on his ass and got old for 20 years in between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope.
Yeah.
And you and I both said, no, he could have had adventures. There's nothing ever said in Star Wars lore that he just sat there and kept his eye on Luke.
And what do we get for the mid-season trailer for Rebels?
In Rebels, he's going to appear on Star Wars Rebels.
He gets a second round Darth Maul.
He's going to fight Darth Maul again. So why can't there be a fucking Obi-Wan film with Ewan McGregor?
Exactly.
I think it's possible. I would love to see it. Tatooine's a huge planet. He doesn't even have to leave Tatooine.
No.
It would be interesting to have a Star Wars movie that takes place on one planet. But there's so much going on there. He can get in trouble with the Hutts, the Tusken Raiders. You can have an Obi-Wan movie.
You can.
And maybe we'll find out Celebration. I really do think they'll announce the next spinoff at Celebration.
I think so, too.
So Han Solo's going to be filming soon, so I think they'll announce it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like we were trying to tell Frank, it's like Frank T. Biscuit, it's like we know that Luke knew Ben Kenobi, quote right. unquote.
How did he get that name?
How did he know Ben Kenobi? How did he know of him? It's like he had to have been watching, not exactly from afar, maybe just with a loose hand, you know.
Right.
So, you know, he was probably watching out for, you know, for him, and you know, keeping in contact with Uncle Owen and Aunt Peru, and kicking back with some blue milk, you know. So I would love to see a Jedi fight with an older Ewan McGregor. I mean, he's not much older, obviously. Right. 12 years older. He's, you know, what, mid-40s, maybe?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you got to think, it's been 11 years since they filmed Sith. Excuse me for my cough today. You know, but if they film this in 2 years from now, it's 13 years.
Yeah.
You know, so if it takes place 13 years after Sith and between that and A New Hope, why not?
Yeah,
you know, it's actually a perfect age in some ways, you know.
Not too old, not too young. Right there.
We'll see. And in other spinoff news, they haven't officially confirmed it. It looks like Woody Harrelson's going to be joining the Han Solo film.
Oh, nice.
As Han's mentor.
I could see that. You know, I could see Woody Harrelson being a smuggler kind of guy.
Yeah. Woody's come a long way lately. You know, he's in War for the Planet of the Apes, the Hunger Games films. It's really kind of revitalized his career of just playing like these side guys. He's not top billing anymore, but he'll come in and take on a chunky role in a film and do a good job with it, you know?
Yeah, whenever he came out in Hunger Games and he was like the drunk mentor,
right?
I really liked him. I thought he did a great job acting.
He looks great in War for the Planet of the Apes in the trailer. I'm really looking forward to him. Woody plays a good bad guy, so he'll be interesting in that. So that's been the latest news. We expect the Han Solo. I think it starts filming in February or March here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. They start filming. And there's been a lot of rumor that they're going to push it from May of next year to December, which makes sense. You know, there was a lot of people saying that they had to have they were trying to get it out in May of 2018. This is the 40th anniversary this year, right?
Yeah.
77. It's 2017.
Because they said that it would be 40 years and one day after...
That's when they were going to put Episode 8 out. Remember, they pushed Episode 8 back in December. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they're going to push the Han Solo film back in December. It just seems like Disney and Lucasfilm need to keep that. Every December, we're getting a new Star Wars movie. It's Christmas at Star Wars.
Yep.
I think that's just the route they need to go. And go ahead and say, look, Han Solo is coming out in December of 2018. December 2019, we're going to get Episode 9. And by damn it, Matt, we're going to call it right now, whether Frank likes it or not. December of 2020, Obi-Wan Kenobi movie.
Hell yeah.
I hope so. You know, we don't know. We'll find out. And but other than that, that's the latest going on in Star Wars. And if there is a Star Wars topic you want us to talk about, because like I said, we did Shadows of the Empire, and that's what we want to do at Remnants of the Rebellion, talk about moments in Star Wars history. Unfortunately, today it was sad history with the passing of Carrie Fisher. Send it to us. You can email us at trustmeimajedi2009@gmail.com. You can leave it on our Facebook page for Trust Me, I'm a Jedi. You can also at Twitter at Trust Me, I'm a Jedi.
Uh-huh.
Lots of ways to get a hold of us. TrustMeIMAJedi.com is the site. All the social media there is at the top. Let us know if there's something you want us to talk about on Remnants of the Rebellion. And, yeah. And I don't know what's coming next from Remnants of the Rebellion. We'll do another episode in a couple weeks, and we'll think of something cool to talk about in the next show.
Like Mark said, if you have any ideas and you have any questions, how did this happen? How did that happen? Questions about, you know how we view certain people in the Star Wars universe, films, rankings, anything.
And we don't want that to sound like we're lazy, like we don't have ideas, because we have lots of ideas. But we want to, any people are out there listening.
We like to cater.
If you want something us to talk about.
Appeal to you.
That's right.
The listener.
make us make you better. I don't know.
Help you, Jerry Maguire.
We'll try to get a little humor in there at the end of an intensely more mundane episode.
Yeah.
Is the word for it.
Yeah.
And next episode we'll bring some fun. We'll have something fun to talk about. But unfortunately, this time it was a little bit of sadness of the passing of Carrie Fisher, and we just wanted to sit down and talk about it. A little bit of therapy for us.
Yes, yeah, definitely. You know, definitely helps to talk about it.
Exactly. And we thank you for your support and listening to Remnants of Rebellion, which you can find all episodes at TrustMeIMAJedi.com. We're not really Jedi, but, you know.
We could be.
We could be. And we hope, for people who are just finding the show, we hope you enjoy. You do go to the website, because it's not just Star Wars news. It's Star Wars heavy, but we do talk about other, we post things about other trailers and things that are coming out, and we have different articles on there that we do, so there are some fun stuff we hope that you read and enjoy. We're not professionals. We do this for fun.
Yeah.
And we do the best we can. Any final thoughts on Carrie or anything?
Oh, just, you know, let's see what happens with Episode 9.
Yeah, we'll go. I mean, I know deep down inside whatever Disney Lucasfilm decide, I may have an opinion on it, but I'll be okay with it, because what else are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
I mean, she's gone. She's left. There's nothing we can do.
Perspective.
We have to take it for what it is. It's not going to take my enjoyment of Star Wars away. And I, not to knock the Fast and the Furious franchise, I just think that Disney Lucasfilm, I think in the end, will handle this better than the way they handled Paul Walker.
I think so.
Because I just think that's the case, you know.
I think it also helps that they, you know, they tried their way, and we got to see what happened when they did their way.
Right.
And now...
And that was a different situation. Like I said, the movie was in production when it happened.
Right.
This, they actually, luckily, have a little bit of time before they start filming Episode 9 to figure out what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And we'll see. I imagine they won't even tell us.
No. No, they're going to keep this under wraps.
Yeah. You know, and hopefully we'll get our first trailer soon where we get maybe a look at Leia in Episode 8.
I think you have to.
You know, and I think it's coming. Maybe they'll make us wait till Celebration, but right now I think they were letting Rogue One breathe. Obviously letting the Carrie Fisher thing, I don't want to call it a thing, that seemed disrespectful, let the death of Carrie Fisher absorb with people.
Right.
And there's no time to, right now would be kind of a little too soon to put out Episode 8 trailer, but maybe in a month. So that's all we have. I do apologize for the cough today. Something's got my allergies acting up.
Yeah, it's the season.
Yeah, I don't want to keep people. Yeah, I've heard stories about, oh, people turn off podcasts, someone coughs too much, and I hope y'all don't turn it off. It's just, I don't know, my allergies. I was fine, then we went outside and ran some errands, and man, allergies open up.
Back up.
So, well, until next time, Carrie, you're one with the force. We'll miss you always. And this has been Mark and
Matt.
And, you know,
may the force be with you.
May the force be with you. Always. And we will see you next time on Remnants of the Rebellion. Or you'll hear us next time, I guess is the proper word to say. Good night.
Good night.
Wait, is it nighttime? No, I don't know. I'm just trying to end this on something funny. But anyway, may the force be with you.
Good day.
Bye.
Difficult sometimes.
I do. I really do.
It would help if I got out and pushed.
I love you.
I know.